This week on Focus on Photography, we talk about Adobe Max and another little bitty problem Adobe had with the data breach. And we talk a little bit about the golden hour. What does that mean in this world of photography? Are you out there getting your time with golden hour? Stay tuned.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Focus on Photography, episode 2, recorded on Thursday, October 31st, 2019, the golden hour. Hey folks, welcome to Focus on Photography here on twit.tv. We are here to talk about the latest and greatest camera news, photography news, photography rumors, and just standard day-to-day stuff in the world of a working photographer. I am Ant Pruitt. I'm here with Mr. Michael Woolsey. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We are here on October 31st, and I guess I'm adequately dressed for Halloween, right?
Very nice.
Wearing my orange, looking like a large pumpkin walking around these studios. Don't anybody laugh at that joke, please and thank you. But this is the photography podcast here on the TWiT Network, where we just want to, you know, talk through a few things. We don't do any tutorials, anything like that. This is more of a round table discussion, two cats just hanging out, having a good time, talking about the topics. Now, we recorded last week's first episode, and it just went extremely well. Lots of excellent feedback. Thank you guys for all of that feedback. And Mr. Wolves, they love you, man.
They love you.
No, they love you, man. That's what's up.
They love the idea of talking photography and without any kind of just having fun talking about it.
Yeah, and it's good to have you here as being our host each and every week. We're going to record these every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So go ahead and hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcatcher of choice so you automatically have these feeds pop up each and every Thursday. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started and let Mr. Wolves, he has some people that he'd like to address here in the NorCal area. So the
mic's all yours. We've got to give great kudos to those firemen, firewomen, first responders who have been doing amazing work up north. And with the Kincade Fire, and I cannot imagine the work that they put into it, and
the work, the bravery, and the courage behind that, and to just go in and battle that. I don't think people quite understand the scale of those fires when you see it on the news. It's like 30 miles from here, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's about right. Yes,
but yet we have all of this smoke that just looks like a regular morning cloud, morning fog. That's pretty freaking bad.
Right. But you also have to look at the photographers who are capturing these events as well, and kind of helping us understand what is really happening out there.
Right. Indeed.
Yeah, like Eric Castro of
the North. Yeah, you mentioned Mr. Castro, and man, his work.
Oh, it's amazing. Right, but he gets right in there, and so, as well as Ken Porter and other people like that. Anyways, very, very good people up there. Doing the best that they can.
Right.
And 60% contained, is that correct?
Yep. That was the last that we heard. Yeah. And zero fatalities.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's what's up there. That's what's up.
Good work, people.
But yeah. Thank you, folks. We really appreciate the support for, you know, taking care of our community here in Northern California. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with some news of the week. A couple things. First and foremost, Adobe Max is coming up. I leave for Adobe Max on Sunday. I don't think I'm attending any of their pre-conference stuff. I don't think so. I had to check my agenda.
Unless they have whiskey?
No, no, not quite. Good try, though. I like how you're thinking. Adobe Max is Adobe's conference that they have each and every year to discuss what they've been working on in the previous year and the things that they're, you know, trying to put forward, you know, for the future. Photoshop, Lightroom, InDesign, I mean, all of their products, Creative Cloud, they usually try to put something out there a little bit for everybody. And in addition to discussing, you know, what they're working on, they like to give you little sessions and classes for the attendees to go in and sit down, you know, in the big old auditorium, if you will. And it'll be, you know, an hour long or so to learn how to, you know, do better with shortcuts in Photoshop. So,
oh, man, that sounds amazing, actually.
Or figuring out, you know, transitions in Premiere Pro. And it's really good. And you're getting some of the best in the business leading those sessions, as well as some of the Adobe evangelists themselves doing it. You know, like from, say, for Photoshop, you have Mr. Terry White, you know, and Terry White is like the guy, you know, when it comes to Photoshop evangelism. And he and to see him up on stage walking you through how to do this and how to do that, it's pretty neat. And I think it's something anybody in the creative space should probably, you know, look into this and start investing in it. You know, it can be a little bit pricey. I think if you go in early, like get your tickets really early, it'll be about $1,500.
Oh, wow.
But that's for everything.
Okay.
They have different packages where you just get to see the keynote, or you get to see day one and maybe two other little events or what have you. But I highly recommend getting the whole package and staying there, you know, a couple of days, because it's like a 3-day event.
It doesn't include there, hotel or anything like that.
They'll have some discounts, excuse me, because it's all right downtown LA. So everything is right there at the Staples Center.
Okay.
Right there in the middle of everything. So there's several hotels right there within a few blocks. And they'll have different deals and different, you know, discounts for people there. I highly recommend it, because not only are you going to be able to learn what's going on with them, or even just sort of sharpen your skill set while you're there, but there's an awesome networking opportunity there.
I can imagine.
You know, you're sitting there and there's thousands and thousands of people there. And I'm talking like over 10,000 that are there to just...
It's going to be amazing.
And they all think like you. You know, photographers or graphic artists or cinematographers, whatever. And they're all thinking just like you. So you feel at home while you're in there, and you get to walk around and hand out your business cards, or, you know, just bump into people that are working on something. And next thing you know, you made a connection.
Yeah, you might work on a project with them too, right?
Exactly.
You kind of expand your network.
So for $1,500, you get all of that learning, all of that information, and an opportunity to help grow your business.
So are you going to come back and give us like a workshop?
I'm going to come back and try to give a little bit of information from what I learned.
I need some tutorials. Yeah.
We'll do that on hands-on photography.
Oh, nice.
On
okay.
Other show
okay.
On the
that
network.
Sounds good.
See, you know, you see how I plugged up?
Oh,
show?
Yeah, yeah. That's very good.
I'm trying to learn how to be a pro like everybody else here at Twit, you know.
Very nice.
But, yeah, Adobe Max is coming up. They're rumoring having some updates for Lightroom to speed it up and Photoshop to speed it up. But the biggest rumor is Photoshop on an iPad.
Oh, by the way, I uploaded Lightroom onto my phone yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so thank you so much,
man,
for...
what took you so long?
Actually is pretty nice.
I know you like Snapseed, and I have nothing against Snapseed, but you are a Creative Cloud guy that did not have mobile.
What the heck? Write a check.
Come on, Wolves.
I'm so sorry.
Come on, man. But yeah, that's the biggest rumor right now is Photoshop on an iPad. And I have mixed feelings about that, because when I think of using photo editors on a mobile device, I'm thinking of just sort of quick adjustment, quick hitter kinds of things. When I'm in Photoshop on the workstation, it's a lot more time consuming. You know, you got multiple layers, you got multiple adjustment layers, popping in and out and messing around with selections and trying to refine that. It's a lot more work. And I never consider being able to do that kind of work on a mobile device, because most of the time they don't have the same horsepower that a laptop would have or a workstation.
So I have a question. Thoughts? I have a question. So is it the photos that you take with your iPad, or is it
Well, I hope that they allow you to sync up, you know, from the cloud.
Okay.
There are different devices that you can plug into an iPad to pull things off an SD card. So what's the new iPad OS? I think that's what it's called, iPad OS. You should be able to have better functionality as far as file system.
Got it. Okay.
Supposedly, my iPad is updated, and it still confuses me trying to find files stuff.
Okay,
but we'll see. So I don't know. I just didn't. I'm sort of mixed on it.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a big iPad user.
Okay.
And so, therefore, it's I'm not in that realm. I would feel, though, that I love my setup. Mm-hmm. My studio. And so I have the two monitors. I feel like I have plenty of juice and that I'm working with raw files.
Right.
And, and it's like you talk, we're talking about the flow is a little bit different.
Right.
I think though, if you were, let's say that you needed to do something very, very quick and you didn't have access to your laptop or anything like that, that the iPad would be the next best thing. And so I would think that that would be, very useful if you needed to get a job done right away or something small.
Yeah. And I'm sure they've considered that in this, in the release that they're rumoring, but we'll see. We'll find out more on Monday, November 4th, whatever day that is. I think that is the 4th.
And it's probably really user-friendly too, I would imagine. So
it has to be with it being a touch interface, you know, and again, that's my mixed side of it because I think about using keyboard shortcuts inside of Photoshop because Photoshop is so daggum massive as an app. There's so many different menus. You get lost with your mouse clicking through all of the menus. So most people will tell you learn the keyboard shortcuts so it'll help speed things up for you. So how are they going to integrate shortcuts inside of a tablet? I'm curious to find that out.
Right.
If that is what they're really, really working on. Now they mentioned Photoshop on an iPad last year at Adobe Max. You know, they just said, hey, we're working on it. But they didn't say it'll be ready in such and such a year. They just said, hey, we're trying. We're trying, you know. And they didn't let you see it. They pulled us all into this little press corner and talked about it because they also were talking about the app that's now called Adobe Fresco. And so they showed us Fresco, but they didn't show us Photoshop. You're like, yeah, we're working on it. We're trying. So
I would we'll see. I think I would have fun trying it and just seeing what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, if, especially if you could, you know, pull up something from the cloud or whatever, it'd be interesting to try it.
Right.
So I wouldn't.
Now, are you into like digital painting or anything like that?
No, there's although there's this one app, I forgot what it's called, Intuit. Anyways, it's where you could actually do graphics on top of a photograph. And especially if you're using it for any kind of print media or whatnot, you kind of I've tried that a couple times and it seems like it's fun, but I don't have the right pen.
You know, oh, yeah.
So it's
the Apple Pencil is pretty nice on an iPad. I was against it at first until I tried it.
It's a nice tool.
$100 for a stylus? Come on.
I know, but it's pretty nice.
When I tried it, I dig it, especially inside of Lightroom because you can use the pressure sensitivity when you're using the adjustment brush in Lightroom. You know, so that's something to look forward to. So that's Adobe Max. I'll have more information about that next week. After I attend it, we'll talk about it on FOP's show next week. FOP as in Focus on Photography for the new folks popping in. So we'll talk about it next week on that show. All right. One more thing about Adobe. Oh, boy. This is a tech network here. You do get that, right? You know, so I got to give a little bit of tech news. Just a couple days ago, as according to ZDNet.com, Adobe left 7.5 million Creative Cloud user records exposed online.
Whoops.
7.5 million. Oh, boy. There is a silver lining. No passwords were exposed. Just a username. Well, not username. The actual email address. But I guess you can consider that the username. The email address was exposed and everything that those email addresses had for us applications. Because some people will only have the photography package. They'll only have Photoshop and Lightroom. Then you'll have people like me that had the full suite. Yeah, this is not good.
No.
This is not good. Well, it seems like every other week or so, there is some type of data breach, whether it's a bank or somebody has something out there exposed to the World Wide Web and people can grab it. With this one, though, they found out about it and fixed it the same day. right then. So that's good. Smart. They jumped on it quickly. But there's still a threat because you could get an email. Oh, I could get an email that says, hey, this is Adobe Services, and we're trying to update this, and yada, yada, yada.
And you put in your information.
Right. You know, they call it a phishing attack. Mm-hmm. And it puts a lot of... It makes you have to open your eyes a little bit and just be a little more careful now.
Yeah, I actually had a issue a couple of weeks ago where I needed to clean my computer
because
I somehow got like a fish.
Right.
Or it was fished. Or I don't know how you, the terms. But anyways, it really messed up my Safari. It was very interesting. But I've come to this point where I feel like everything that we're doing anyways is being exposed. I feel like I'm not sure.
Wait a minute. So are you saying you trust no one? Everything is exposed? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, it's just...
That's a pretty common theme here at the network is, you know, we don't trust anybody.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a pretty common theme.
All right.
So I guess you're not alone. You're amongst friends.
I'm part of the tribe then.
You're amongst friends, wolves.
Nice.
Yeah, this is I'm glad Adobe jumped on it really quickly and got it fixed the same day. I believe what was the firm? I want to give them credit for finding it. What was the firm's name? Okay, I do not have the firm's name in front of me. I'm sorry, but a shout out, Security Discovery. Thank you, Mr. John A., for saving my bacon here. Security Discovery. All right. They took care of it and let everybody know. So again, folks, if you're using not only just Adobe Creative Cloud, but any of these online services, make sure you're securing your account. Don't use the same password for everything, first and foremost. If you can use a password manager, do that, such as LastPass, which is a sponsor on our network. They'll manage your passwords for you so you don't have to remember them. Also, enable some type of multi-factor authentication. So after you put your password in, you're going to be prompted to, you know, verify again that you are who you are. So that gives you one more extra layer of security. So just keep that stuff in mind. Watch your email boxes for the next couple months. I'm not even going to say days, next couple months, because they could try this stuff later on and hit you with a suspicious looking email and you just get caught off guard.
Right. So. And also educate your kids.
Right.
I have two teenagers who are diving into the tech world. So they also need to be educated as to, you know, what to look for and to really be on the lookout for sure.
Indeed. All right. So that is it for our tech part and news part of today's show here, Focus on Photography. I'm Ant Pruitt, and again, this is the twit.tv podcast network here with Mr. Michael Wools, also known as Wools, our co-host here, hanging out with you folks every Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, to talk a little bit of camera stuff, a little bit of just photography in general, and just chit-chatting about day-to-day life as a working photographer. All right, so now let's move into some theory stuff. I was looking at fstoppers.com, and I don't look at that website too often because a lot of times it pisses me off because people get a little too snobby in there and start, why would you shoot this way? Why would you use that lens? And it drives me nuts. We've talked about this before off air. But I saw this article about 10 creative photography tricks that are all done in camera. Now, with you, I've seen your work, especially what you did with the photo booth at the festival and things like that. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever sat down and you know, just for fun, try to figure out some little things you could do in camera that you know, little tips and tricks to put different effects in your shot or, you know, because some people, they go all out with Photoshop.
Right.
And add, you know, different manipulation and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that you'll see online that just use filters, light bulbs, or anything like that to give an extra effect. Mirrors. Another trick, I know a lot of people will take their smartphone and put it right up under their lens as they're shooting to give an extra reflection in the frame.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You
know, instead of pulling that into Photoshop, you already generated it in camera, right? That. Have you ever thought to play around with little tips and tricks like that?
I have, actually. I love flares.
Oh, okay.
And so,
what is your flare trick? So you get like a prism or something? Or
well, flashlights are, you get the right flashlight, you could really do some beautiful flares kind of off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Also, saw this one guy take out like, you know, like an egg beater.
Yep.
And you kind of have it go in front of the lens, and it gives it a little sparkle. It's actually really cool. It's you have to do it right, though. It's a, especially if you're working with a shallow depth of field.
Right.
And it has to be in a way that, you're working with a depth of field when you're doing something like that. But something that kind of like flutters,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, it's not obvious what it is.
Almost like a little fairy dust going across
right.
the
screen. And also, if you want some flickering in the back, I mean, CDs. So you kind of put up the CD.
Man.
So it's
wait a minute. Do people even know what CDs are anymore? when was the last time I saw a CD?
But it can't. It's very sparse. Very just as almost as if a car's going by.
Right.
That kind of vibe.
Okay.
And so in the windows, it's so yes, I try to use those, especially for video. I never really use it for. For stills,
mm-hmm.
but mainly for video, I kind of work with that kind of work, and especially with definitely with flare. I'm absolutely love flares.
Now, what's your flare? Because some people, they especially in video, the flare is like quickly. You know, it's just sort of a second. You know, some people want it to sort of sit there for a little bit.
Right.
How do you feel about that, or does it just sort of depend upon composition or?
Composition, but as well as if you're moving, is right. that the flare is kind of giving that spark, the kind of the
like a little glint,
right? But mm-hmm. it's especially if you're working with a face that
right.
you're kind of going back and forth and it goes in and out.
Yep.
There's one of the I've done it many times, but one of the ones I remember is actually there's a slit in a door. There's actually an artist here in town, and he had a huge barn. And mm-hmm. there's a slit in the door, and it's a perfect morning light. And so I really wanted to kind of get that and just and him and with the dust. It was and you know, just kind of got that vibe.
Picture.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it just had this, and was wearing like a cowboy hat type mm-hmm. of thing. And it was just beautiful. And so he just kind of moved back and forth, and you're only going to use maybe 4 seconds of that, but it's going to be four beautiful seconds.
Right, right.
And just a kind of subtle silhouette. It turned out really beautiful. So, but I also, if you're working with lights that are kind of on the outside of the house,
mm-hmm.
and you're using that, and you kind of want to use like a kitchen scene.
All right.
Where there's this beautiful light coming in that, like if you have a Joker outside the window, it's shining in sunlight type
right.
of vibe, that you want to use that as well and kind of.
So it's all about sort of understanding the prop that you have and where you can place it and what you can do with it.
Right.
You know, because you can't just sort of randomly throw something in there. You really need to think about this beforehand.
Right. And that's the beauty about, great gaffers, that they
right.
just know how to set up light, and you have a great DP or you know what you want. And
right.
so people kind of, especially if they know you want flair
right.
and, or, you know, some other subtleties that especially, I mean, if you're, the way I look at light is that you're painting with light.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want that the subtleties, but not, you don't, I think many people don't like the harsh light mm-hmm. where it looks like it's fake.
Right.
So you really want it to kind of be.
Try to diffuse it some.
Right. And to make it look like it is authentic and that it's the real thing.
Yeah.
And many times you get what you take what you get.
Yeah.
So if there's really good light out there, so don't
work with it.
Yeah, just yeah. However, that light changes.
Yeah,
and so
quickly
you,
on
right,
top of that,
exactly.
You know.
Right. So you do definitely need to set up for that that scene.
Oh man,
and it takes a long time too. It's not easy.
You know, it. I was working with. We have the Blackmagic Design 6K camera here at the studio for review, and. I'm running out of time with this. I got to get ready to send it back as the tear rolls down my face. And I had it at the house because I was trying to just figure out some type of cinematic footage, and I wanted to do it during golden hour,
uh-huh.
you know. So I said, well, let me get my son. Let me get him involved because he loves photography and, you know, maybe he'll enjoy being my muse, if you will.
You got to have muses.
And we get out there and I'm trying to direct him. And I'm like, man, this light is so awesome. 2 minutes later, oh, crap, I'm losing right. light. You know, and he's sort of lollygagging around. I'm like, dude, we need to get through.
It's kind of like that in the afternoon when you were shooting outside mm-hmm. and there's that golden hour. Oh, mm-hmm.
It only takes so long.
Yes, but you could shoot the heck out if you can, and just make sure that you kind of wait, you know, that you shoot everything before then that you need to shoot, and then you have those shots
right
for to kind of add the kind of the extra spice.
Right, right.
And the golden hours are just beautiful, especially around here.
Yeah,
you're working in the vineyards, or you're working on a
just going up to the mountains.
Yeah, field to table type of vibe. Just kind of get those nice hours.
Now, like I said, I mentioned that camera. We will be doing a little demo and review of it on Hands on Tech. That's another show here on the network. That's twit.tv/hot Hands on Tech. So stay tuned for that. We'll have something out in a couple weeks on that after we go through and finish up our shots and so forth. But back to these tricks here. A lot of people in the community, if you look at these creative artists on Instagram and you see they got all of these weird flares, such as what I'm showing you on my screen right there, a lot of people will give them crap. They'll poo-poo them.
Oh.
You know, and I'm like, well, what is so wrong with that shot? This person...
It's creative.
You know, right.
Just let it be. There isn't too much negative in the world anyways. Right. Why worry about something like that?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it drives me nuts.
Let people be.
You know, so that was part of the story over on F-Stoppers is this artist is, well, and there's a bunch of different artists. It's not just one. But Jordy Kolitic, I believe that's how you say his last name. He's probably one of the most popular ones out there. Mm-hmm. But people were fascinated by his work. But then there's also people that were just saying, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
I don't get it because it's art. You know, you don't necessarily have to like it, but you don't necessarily need to just go out there and
why even put energy into it? And that person's doing what he wants to do or she's wanting to do. And if you don't experiment, then you're not. So the worst mistake, you know, the worst mistake is not doing it.
Right.
And you can making mistakes is a great thing.
You learn from them.
Right.
At least you're supposed to.
Right.
I don't always learn from mine because I know I've repeated
And that's
something.
Not a mistake. That's somebody's making an effort to do something to express themselves. And I feel that we just have so much negative stuff in the world anyways. Why even bother with that?
Another thing I don't think a lot of people understand is when you, like you mentioned the gaffers or DP, what people see on the silver screen, you know, has nothing to do with what actually happened behind the scenes. Because if you see what happens behind the scenes, you're like, how in the heck is this going to work? You know, I know this is probably a bad example, but think about someone depicting themselves on an airplane or what have you in an airplane seat. And a common meme is they take a white plastic toilet seat.
Oh,
and they hold it up just at the right angle with the scene in the background. You got that shallow depth of field. But if it's held at the right angle and the light looks just right, it looks like you're on an airplane flying.
No kidding.
You know, but
the tricks.
Right. But other people are just assuming, oh, that's just some stupid ideas. Why are you bringing a toilet seat to the studio? You know, you know, but it actually works. And there's a lot of stuff that DPs and gaffers, they just have those little bit of nuanced tricks in the back of their head that nobody ever thinks about.
I'll tell you what, I worked with this person I was telling you about, Pennsylvania. Right. I worked with this person, or she was amazing. And she was one of these people that absolutely knew what the director wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get that, she works people in a way that they were able to get that shot.
Yeah.
In the most beautiful way, and working with light, even the subtlety lights, like putting light underneath the a shelf, so it shines just right.
Yeah, just and nice little kicker on it.
Right. But she was amazing. And she came in and she said, look, we need to do this shot. I need you let me know what you need and I'll do it. And everybody goes, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. She's got it. And she absolutely nailed it every time. And she was phenomenal. It was
Now it makes you wonder how many hours and hours of just hanging out together those two had to figure out that chemistry. You know, it just
well sometimes you don't have that chemistry right mm-hmm. away. And somebody comes in, and you're working with basically a new crew all the time.
Yeah.
Although there's there's some people that you work with. All,
right. Some people sort of have their own little crew. Some people. Right. Some exactly. studios, if you will.
But this the director and she had worked together, and they absolutely knew. She knew what he wanted, and he knew what she could do, and let it run. And she was, I have to tell you, she was the way she set up the lights and just so beautiful and nothing harsh. It was just subtle, a real professional.
Mm-hmm.
Real professional.
I love that. Now, mentioning this makes me think back to our Adobe Max conversation where we talked about building those relationships mm-hmm. with people. I hear a lot that if you're a photographer, you need to make friends with a graphic designer and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that after, you know, several years of making friends with a couple of them and just seeing their vision, I totally mm-hmm. believe that. And I will put a stamp on that anytime.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Making relationships or just
making relationships with, you know, yeah, you want to make relationships with photographers, but you know, what about figuring out the nuance of a gaffer, you know,
so right.
You know, some people just sort of overlook that. Heck, I mean, we're in this beautiful studio and there's a lot of times I will walk back there into the cave, if you will, where Mr. John is doing all the magic.
Right.
I will go back there and just watch so I can get a better understanding of what it is the team is doing, how they're trying to make us sound good and look good. Mm-hmm. And so I can be better.
Right.
On both sides of it, you know, so I think you should try to take that into photography with, you know, getting yourself a graphic designer as a friend and understanding their thought process with how they're working with colors,
right?
You know, and how they're working with balance and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Right. Actually, going back to the designer, actually, mm-hmm. a friend and I, his name is Tyler Young here in town. And so he initiated and we created a website called FeelSonoma.com.
Yeah.
And it's basically stories around the area and really beautiful stories. But his graphic sense
mm-hmm.
was the one that, and the relationship with the photograph really made that website just beautiful. And
right.
And that's where the relationship, and we've had a relationship for a very long time. And mm-hmm. we've been able to, and he's the one that actually helped create, and they actually did create the Rivertown Revival photo booth.
Right.
But his graphic sense, his vision was the thing that was able to kind of make things happen and make the photographs work in a way that really told a story and really gave a sense and vibe of kind of the community in which we live mm-hmm. in. So
I remember looking at that website. How long had you guys been working on that and getting that project out and out to the masses to see, and is this beautiful, beautiful.
It's been about 4 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And we've been kind of slow at it right now. And mm-hmm. It's a website of love.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we're not getting paid for it or anything
right.
like that. It's just basically telling stories around the community.
And what's the link again for the people listening?
It's FieldSonoma.com.
FieldSonoma.com.
Yeah. And it's and there's other photographers that we have been involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really beautiful, we live in a really beautiful community and very talented. And there's these nuggets of gold, you know, I don't know, just great nuggets out there.
Right.
And like one of the stories is a lady who actually repairs baseball mitts.
Okay.
And she was a sandal maker. And then, a sandal maker. And then somebody brought in a glove and asked her if she would be able to repair it.
Right.
from that point on, from the 70s to now, she's a and really? She works with gloves from all around the world.
Man.
Yeah.
And I can
right
just,
there in Cotati.
And I can just imagine, you know, just shooting that, just shooting those working hands.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. I just she has this one fingernail, this thumbnail is red.
Right.
Everything else is kind of, but I don't know. So you got to go to the site to kind of see it. It's actually really quite wonderful. Yeah.
FieldSonoma.com. We'll link to that in the show notes for folks out there with their favorite podcast catcher. But yeah, that was on my brain.
Relationships are important. And you don't want to burn bridges.
You know, we're going to have some more people on the show here in future episodes. And one of them, I can go ahead and tease it now, Miss Lisa Carney. She's an awesome photo finisher.
Oh, nice.
You know, she does pretty much any of the movie posters and TV posters that you see in your Netflix queue or what have you. Mm-hmm. She probably did it.
Oh, gosh. You know? That's great.
She's really good. And I've listened to her on other shows and even in some of the Adobe events, and she talked about, hey, you photographers, you better find your graphic designer, you know. And it finally stuck after mm-hmm. seeing what she says, because she incorporates a lot of that in her photo finishing. You know, she can shoot, you know, but she leans more on putting everything in mm-hmm. place. You know, if you see that beautiful poster of, say, Spider-Man or The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. it has a certain feel to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of elements in that she or, you know, any finisher, they put together to make it just sort of work together. It's not just The Dark Knight standing there.
Right.
But there's other things that they have, you know, composited mm-hmm. into this image. And it just takes a certain level of creativity and understanding how stuff works together. And this color will complement that color mm-hmm. versus not.
But also how a person works too, right? Mm-hmm. And many times a creative person will actually send you on a job mm-hmm. because they know the work that you're going to bring back.
That's true. I've been fortunate a time or two on that, and it's definitely helpful.
Right. Yes.
It's mm-hmm. definitely helpful to get that one more invoice that you could put out mm-hmm. there, you know, because someone referred to you, and definitely make sure you pay it forward on that. One more thing.
Golden Hour sounds like some sort of cult
thing. Well, okay, all right, chat room, let's go ahead and fix that now. Golden Hour sounds like some sort of cult thing. All right. For those that don't know, Golden Hour and Blue Hour are specific times in a day. Mm-hmm. Think of Golden Hour usually more so in the morning at sunrise, mm-hmm. Just as the sun is getting ready to come up. You don't see the sun just yet, but you start to get a little more light in. And as the sun begins to come up, it's a specific soft golden yellow right. light outside.
No harsh shadows.
Right. Everything is just really, really soft. And it's very, very cinematic. It's the
very
ideal
beautiful.
Time. It's mm-hmm. the ideal time to shoot. When you're dealing with photography, yes, your camera needs a good amount of light to work properly. Mm-hmm. So some people will think shooting at 12 o'clock when the sun is straight up in the air yeah. and it's totally, you know, illuminating the land.
You have some harsh shadows.
Yeah,
then,
that's
right?
not the best time mm-hmm. to shoot. I mean, it's a little too hard mm-hmm. and it doesn't really flatter your images. But that golden hour and then blue hour, more so at the end of the day, is, you know, sun is starting to set. Different tone of light. Sometimes you see some magentas and things mm-hmm. like that, at least in my experience. What mm-hmm. about you?
I see gold.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a better looking light mm-hmm. for photography, especially for landscape people. Even street photography, if you can catch some golden hour mm-hmm. with street photography and get people just being themselves mm-hmm. in the moment, there's a lot of good stories that you can tell with just one click of a shutter.
And that's where we're talking about flares too. Mm-hmm. If you could catch it right, there's a nice little flare or some kind of mood that can be that you could capture. Mm-hmm. Around here, if you're doing print media work, a lot of times you'll see some really beautiful images of like people sipping wine at mm-hmm. a picnic table. out in a vineyard, and there's a golden hour where the light is just perfect. It's kind of matches the mood of right. having that wine or whatever. But yeah,
I can. Oh man, I need if next time you get on a wine shot, I need to watch you in action on that, because I can only imagine the vibes that you get being right here in wine country, and people are going to take it really daggum seriously. So,
right.
So it's, I can, I bet that's a cool set to be on.
Basically there's really very little light that we put, we don't put up any lights.
Right.
You're just utilizing the light that you have.
Right. And shooting glass bottles is really, really hard.
It is. You know, we also have a stylist though.
Right.
We have a stylist who sets up the table, kind of makes it kind of, so it's, looks natural or whatever. That,
right.
That they're, everything that needs to be
natural
conveyed.
Natural-ish.
Yeah, exactly right, yes.
Because I know most people don't necessarily have, you know, berries around the bottom of their wine bottles at their house. So mm-hmm. natural-ish. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll say. All right. Okay, so one more thing. When we were here last week, we talked about the Sony line of cameras that was, you know, been released. And, mm-hmm. The lenses and things like that. And you got into your gear and you said that you were still looking at that new A7 R4. A week later, has that changed your mind? Have you ready to been closer to pulling the trigger?
You know what's interesting is that I've been going back and forth. So I have a 2 right now, A7 mm-hmm. R2. And mm-hmm. the 3 is out there still.
Yep.
And yeah. then a 4. And so
dollar
I'm thinking,
for dollar, that 3 is a good price.
Man. Exactly right. When you're looking at $1,000 less mm-hmm. for the 3 than the 4.
That's why I wanted to ask, because I started seeing some price changes here recently since the 4 has been mm-hmm. announced. And I was like, Then you think about, you can get one used.
Oh, mm-hmm.
For even cheaper.
Right.
You know, so I was like, well, I'm going to ask Woolsey if he's still thinking about that Mark IV.
You know? Yeah, I got to tell you, I have to really look at the way that the... that the screen is on the back,
uh-huh.
especially for focusing. Obviously, I would use a monitor or whatever
right.
it was. But I would have to look at if I'm able to kind of focus a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 is kind of harsh at some degree.
Yeah.
But the 3 and the 4, I saw that the pixels is much finer.
Right.
And you're able to kind of get the details a little bit more.
Right.
I don't know. I think I have to kind of try the 2.
We're going to show up next week, and he's going to be like, look at my new camera.
You have the 4, I have the 3. We could try to switch a little bit.
I know how this rolls. Mm-hmm. Trust me. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get on up out of here this week, folks. Any parting shots you'd like to give to our listeners before we go, just to sign off and get them started for a weekend of shooting? Any words of encouragement you'd like to share? Or ideas or a challenge to them, if you will.
Right. I would think that, if you have a weekend to kind of play around,
mm-hmm.
I would actually pick a subject
mm-hmm.
and just go and press yourself to do it.
Okay.
Almost like a wish list.
Okay.
And go out and do it and play around with depth of field.
Right.
And play around with, if you have different lenses, look at what lens conveys what you, the different stories.
Right.
And I would really just go out there and play. Mm-hmm. And if you're working with people, maybe walk down the street or actually investigate your town.
Right.
And maybe there's somebody who you want to tell a story about.
Do a little recon, if
right,
you will.
Right, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's somebody interesting that... You know, I want to know more about that person,
mm-hmm.
and go to that person and just say, hey, you know, I want to, kind of do a photo essay on you,
right?
And kind of see what you're about, and just have fun and learn about people through your camera.
And I like to add to that, because I love that idea. And I've done that myself. And mm-hmm. it works out pretty nicely. If you have a local coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
local coffee shops are always just sort of pumping with energy, whether it's the energy of the customers coming in sort of groggy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes for a good shot. You can see it there.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, please give me my coffee now. And then there's the energy of the baristas behind the counter.
That's awesome.
They are so 200 mile an hour in everything they do. And then there's the energy of the actual process of creating that coffee, the grinding of the beans and the steeping. And it's an art to get a really good cup of coffee.
Right.
It's an art to it. And I had two coffee houses back home in North Carolina that I frequented, and we had pretty good relationships. And there was times I'd show up just to have my coffee and work on something. Or there were times I'd show up to say, hey, I want to shoot you guys today. And they were all for it.
Right.
Because they loved it. And they loved the stories that we created. Right. And we sort of collaborated and worked together, and they put things on their social media, and you know, it just worked. And that energy, you could see it through the lens and the colors. You go in there in the morning, you're going to get a different set of colors from the lighting standpoint. Go in there at lunch, go in there in the evening, it's going to be totally different. So do a little bit of recon. And like I say, I would just check out a coffee shop, all of the textures. And
there might be a good mechanic there too. You know, there might be something extremely interesting that there's, right where I live, there's all these, there's a truck mechanic and he takes like old trucks, the Chevy from the 50s, whatever, right, and he works on them.
Yeah.
That's a cool subject.
Right.
Why not go in and say, hey, I just want to explore with my camera.
Right.
Want to document you for maybe a week, you know, kind of get different.
And a lot of times they don't mind. If you walk in there and just walk in there and humble and be polite, they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you noticing what we do.
And be a fly on the wall.
Right.
Don't get up in their face.
Yeah, don't get in their face. Yeah.
But just be a fly on the wall and hang out. And you'll start seeing what needs to be photographed and what is interesting to you and what might be interesting to him or her. But I think it's just important to kind of play a little bit. But also, like the coffee, get in there real tight when they're grinding.
Right.
And then you'll see like the coffee beans, like or the coffee kind of sprouting or whatever, or the foam.
Blooming.
Right.
Blooming is what it's called.
Trust me.
I've been schooled on that.
Blooming. But yeah, I think, gosh, if you have time to do it, just have fun. And actually, somebody reminded me yesterday that I need to get out of behind the computer and get out.
Oh, boy.
I do. Yeah. And I've been editing a lot, and I was reminded, just get out and start.
Same here. I've been behind my screen a little bit too much, but I'm going to fix that. I'm going to fix that. Actually, I'm going to work on that this weekend. I'm going to take your advice and your challenge, and I'm going to go out and work on it this weekend.
Yeah, just one person, one story.
One dadgum story.
Yeah.
I got this.
And don't be afraid to work with shallow depth of field. Go real tight, dark. Whatever.
I'm going to have some fun.
Explore.
I'm going to have some fun. All right.
The world is your canvas, my friend.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Just take advantage of it and artfully, and you'll be just
fine. And experience the creative process.
Yes, yes. All right, folks. We're going to end this episode of Focus on Photography for the week. This has been a lot of fun, Wolves, just sitting back and chatting with you and picking your brain. I love doing this.
Yeah, I think the community is going to grow too.
Doing this every Thursday, it's just, it just gets my Thursday morning started out just
nice.
Great. I really appreciate that.
You sure it's not the coffee?
No, I'm not too fond of the coffee choice today. Y'all like this coffee. it's doing its job. That's about all I could say.
Nice.
It's doing its job. But thank you to the chat room for being in here bright and early and hanging out with us today. Thank you to all of you that have clicked the subscribe options on our podcast here on your favorite podcast catcher, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Pocket Cast, all of them. Appreciate your support there. And also be sure to check out our Twit community. That's where we hang out online and just chat with one another, whether it's just talking about photography things here or what kind of computers you have, or just random conversations of just, you know, just hanging out with the rest of the Twit army. It's a lot of fun. So in your browser, go to twit.community to sign up and enjoy the conversation. Wait a minute. A minute. Chat room is yelling at me. Ant, do not talk smack to the coffee.
No doubt. Sorry about that.
I'm not going to talk smack. I'm just going to push it away, Mr. Burke. Mr. Burke, I'm just going to push that coffee away. I won't say anything else to it. How's that? Thank you all again. Be sure to follow Wools over on Instagram. That is Hey Wools is his handle. You can follow me at @Ant_Pruitt over on Instagram. And follow Twit. We do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on Instagram. And the social media team here, they have a lot of fun just, you know, shoving that camera in our face at some very interesting times. So you never know what you're going to see over there. So go ahead and give us a follow there. Thank you again to all of our technical team here in the studio for making us look and sound good here on the set. And we will catch you all next week about 9 a.m.-ish here on Focus on Photography. And we'll just talk about a little more Adobe Max after the fact and some other things. So y'all stay tuned. Thank you again for the support. We'll catch you later.
Thank you.